Beth Finn, and this is See Beth Run. In this week's episode, I talk about the potential for a very crowded city council race with more than one minority party, the need to address our aging school buildings, and promising 1,500 doors to Governor Wolf. I also discuss the concept of disagree and commit, contemplate my very full plate, and emphasize the need for making time for friends and family. Here goes lucky week number 13. Hi, I'm Beth Finn, and I'm running for Philadelphia City Council at Large. Today is Sunday, September 2nd, and it's around 9:30 p.m. here in Philadelphia. Well, let's get right to it because I actually have quite a lot to cover today, and I really don't want to go on for too long. But I want to start with that logistical stuff, you know, the sort of really campaign-specific stuff that I start with sometimes. And so first of all, I spent a lot of time this week coordinating my calendar for the next couple of months because with the upcoming November election, there are lots and lots of events going on where I could see and be seen, as they say. And so I spent some time with Rupali trying to figure out what events I should go to, where I should, you know, show up. And where she should show up, because I think we're maybe going to have to start to divide and conquer. You know, I've said a number of times in the past, I cannot be everywhere at the same time. Philadelphia is a pretty big city, and so if we want to represent ourselves, or we want to represent me at all of the events that we can, we're going to have to divide and conquer. So we talked a lot about that. I have quite a full calendar coming up, but I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of really fun and cool events coming up, and you guys will hear about them as the weeks go by, because I certainly will be talking about them as I like to do. A couple other logistical things. I actually had a lunch this week with some more of my colleagues. I know a few weeks ago I mentioned one of my colleagues had reached out to me and said, hey, I saw you're running for city council. Let's get together. And we did, not on work time, because again, it's very important that I keep my campaigning efforts separate from my day job. You know, I don't want there to be any conflict of interest, and I don't want, I don't want to use my company's resources for my campaign. That wouldn't be appropriate. So a few more of my colleagues reached out. We actually have a women's network. And we have a Slack channel. And so one of my colleagues had posted in there that I was running, and maybe some of the women would like to get together to talk to me about it. And I said, I would love to talk to you about it on non-work time. So we did. We went out to lunch, and we talked a lot about, we talked a little bit about my campaign, but we actually talked quite a lot about what people can do to get involved for November, because I think these people not only, you know, are interested in helping me, but they're interested in helping more broadly. So I talked to them a little bit about the canvassing work I do, and actually two of them came canvassing with me this weekend. So I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit, but all in all, a good lunch. I think we'll probably do it again. They had, I think, more questions, and there were other people who would have liked to join us who couldn't because of their schedules or whatever. So, yeah, good stuff. Still, I'm struggling a little bit with how do I maintain that balance or separate. It's almost a separation between work stuff and campaign stuff. Because, as I said, it's important to not do my campaign things on work time. And yet, when people there learn about what I'm doing, they are excited about it and they want to know about it. So, and I don't want to discourage that. and because I work in Philadelphia, many of the people I work with are Philadelphians. They're my voters. So, it's all good stuff. And then one more logistical sort of thing, Philly.com published an article this week about how crowded the field for city council at large might be in 2019. They actually talked about, I don't remember what year it was, but back when Rizzo was governor, there were actually 101 candidates on the ballot for city council at large. And wow, I really hope there's not 101 candidates next year for my race. That seems quite overwhelming. But if there are, so be it, right? I'm still going to run the best race I can, and I'm still fighting for the people of Philadelphia. And so if there are 101 candidates on the ballot, I guess I'll take them on. And I guess technically that might be good for me, because that means I need fewer votes to win. But all that aside, I think there won't be 101 candidates, but I do think that it could potentially be a very crowded field. They talked a lot about there are three candidates who have declared so far, including me. And so it was nice to get a mention and a link to my website there. And then there are two others. And then they talked about the half a dozen or so candidates who are rumored to be running, or who might be declaring. So it was pretty interesting to read about that. And they talked actually on both sides of the aisle, not only about the Democrats, but also about the Republicans. And I should mention, there's an interesting, I don't know if it's a quirk or nuance. So the way that the city council at large seats work, there are seven of them in total. But the way the city charter is written, two of them must go to a minority party. And historically speaking, that has always been two Republicans. But this year, especially with all of the activity we're seeing from other third parties, like, for example, the Democratic Socialists, it's possible that somebody could run as a Democratic Socialist or a Green Party member or any other party, and they could get one of those two seats instead of a Republican. So they talked about that a little bit. I think it's pretty unlikely, but, you know, stranger things have happened, and everything that we think we know about politics, I really think, has been thrown up in the air in the last 2 years. And so I don't think we should make any assumptions about what will happen. That was a good and interesting article. I'll put a link to it in the show notes if you haven't seen it yet. Okay, so next thing I want to talk about, I want to talk a little bit about schools. And so school started this week in Philadelphia, and it has been extremely hot in Philadelphia, not just for this time of year, but in general. We have had, it's been a heat wave. We've had multiple days over 90 degrees. And with the heat index, it feels like it's over 100 degrees. The humidity has been awful. So school started this past week, and it started before Labor Day, which is, I think this may be the first year in quite some time that it's done that. They actually changed it so it started after Labor Day because of this heat situation. And this is important because 75% of Philadelphia public schools do not have air conditioning. So if it gets too hot, they have to either cancel school or close early, depending, you know, on the situation. And so they started school this week, and for, I think, 3 days this week, they closed early because of the heat. So, you know, again, I think we're doing a disservice to our kids with that. And it could be solved if we had more modern and up-to-date school buildings for our students. I have talked in the past about the crumbling infrastructure that we have in Philadelphia, and that is especially evident when you look at our school buildings. Most of them are 75, 80, 90 years old and haven't had much updating since they were built. That's obvious when 75% of our public schools do not have air conditioning. That's not a good situation for our kids to be in, or our teachers for that matter, right? The teachers have to teach in that. And here's something interesting I learned this week. The teachers are not allowed to open both the door and the window in the classroom to get a cross breeze. I think it's actually the door that they're not allowed to open when there is an active class going on. The doors must be closed, and that is because of all of the active school shootings that we have seen in our country over the last several years. So they can't even get a cross breeze in these classrooms that have no air conditioning when it's over 90 degrees out. And I mean, that's swelteringly hot for these students. that's not a good environment for learning, and it's not a good environment for teaching. So that is definitely something that I think needs to be addressed, and we need to find the money to update these schools and make them great places for our students to learn and for our teachers to teach. Okay, so about that's enough about schools. So I went to a number of events this week, and the first one, so the Democratic Party has been opening offices to support the election coming up in November, and they opened a new one in North Philadelphia in the Cecil B. Moore neighborhood this week, and Governor Wolf was there, and he was there for the opening, and he, you know, he gave a little speech, and actually there were many people, politicians in the city who were there and had the opportunity to say a few words. But the exciting thing about this was that I got to meet Governor Wolf. I've met him before, but I got to meet him again. I got to shake his hand, and I got to tell him that I have so far knocked 700, at that time, I had knocked 736 doors for him. Because when I'm knocking in Pennsylvania for any of these candidates, it's also for him, right? He's obviously a statewide office. And so not only am I knocking for the state House and state Senate candidates and the congressional candidates, but I am knocking for the statewide candidates. So that's Governor Wolf and Senator Bob Casey. So I got to tell him that I had knocked 736 doors for him already, and that I intended to knock 1,500 by Election Day. And I think I just came up with that number on the spot. I know I've been saying 1,000, but I'm so close to that. I told him 1,500, and so now that I told him, I'm going to do it. And I knocked a lot of doors this weekend, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I knocked a lot of doors this weekend, so I'm even closer to that goal. And it was just so... I don't know. I really was happy to be able to tell him that I was doing that. And his response, he seemed so humbled and grateful about it. And, you know, like he truly appreciated the personal effort that I was making for his campaign. And I just hope that I am always, when I'm a public official, that I always feel that same gratitude and that same thankfulness for the people who volunteer for me and the voters who support me. It made me feel special that he was so so grateful for it. So 1,500 doors, here I come. That's a big goal, but I'm gonna do it. I have to do it. I think that knocking doors is the way that we're gonna save our democracy. So the other event I attended this week was a fundraiser for Philly Now, the National Organization of Women. Actually, I think it was for Pennsylvania Now, not just Philadelphia Now. But it was called the Gender Justice and Gin Happy Hour, and it was really a fun event. They're going to do it annually in different venues. So they had it at this venue called Philadelphia Distillery, and they make gin. They distill gin, and they have a pretty new location in like the Fishtown kind of area, and they have a great space. I hadn't been there before. They have a great space, and their food was pretty good. It was interesting and unique. So I would check it out if you haven't been there, and if you have any interest at all in gin or in distilling and brewing, they do brewery tours. I think I'm gonna take Rob there one day soon to do the tour, because he really likes that kind of stuff. But anyway, so the event was there, and there was a pretty good group of people, and it wasn't a giant event, but the people who were there were quality people. So it was really nice to catch up with some people I hadn't seen in a while, and then meet the new people who were there. One of the people, it was in support of their candidates that they've endorsed, and they have, a couple dozen candidates that they've endorsed, and, you know, now obviously endorses people who are going to support women and women's rights and women's equality, So their candidates are all in favor of that. And so one of the people who was there was Madeline Dean, who's running for Congress. And so she made a little speech and just talked about the important work that NOW does and the importance of getting out the vote in November. So I really feel like that's the message right now, right? And the Democratic Party is hitting it hard. And I'm really glad to see that. I think it's just so important that as Democrats, we all are on the same page about what has to happen in November. Any kind of internal disagreements that we might have, we have to put those aside and we have to focus on the prize, which is winning elections in November. And there's this concept that from my business life. So a lot of times, I am always working on a team, right? I'm a project manager, and so I always have a team. And you guys probably realize it's difficult to make any kind of decisions by committee. You can't do that. But it's also really important to get input from all of the people on the team when you're doing a project, especially when you're doing technology projects, right? There's so many things to know. Not everybody can know everything. Nobody can know everything. So it's important to get input from as many members of the team as you can. But once the decision is made, it's important that everybody get behind it and support it 100%. And so this concept is called disagree and commit. So until the decision is made, you can disagree as vehemently and as vocally as you want to. But once the decision is made, you have to get on board. And that is a really important concept, I think, for us to look at as Democrats, too. I don't want to get too deep into it, but, the perfect example here is the primary election 2 years ago for the presidential election between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, right? That was a long and tough fight and battle. I think that it was good for the country and good for the party to have both sides of that argument happen, right? And I am very pleased that Bernie's candidacy moved the Democratic Party platform further to the left. It made it much more progressive. But once the nomination was done, and I don't want to get into whether or not you think the nomination was fair or the nomination was rigged. I don't want to get into that, right? Once the nomination is done and the nominee is the nominee, we must support that nominee with all our hearts and 100%. And so that's true not just in that presidential race, but in any of these races that we're seeing. We've had a lot of very contentious primaries this year in Pennsylvania. I mentioned before for Pennsylvania Congressional District 5, I think it was, there were 16 candidates in the primary. But once that primary is done and we have the nominee, then I expect that all of the other candidates to get behind that nominee, right? Because the alternative is unacceptable. That Democratic nominee is always, always, in my opinion, of course, is always, always, always going to be better than the alternative from the other party. So we've got to build this culture of disagree and commit. Disagree up until the point the decision is made, and then when the decision is made, let's move on, let's move forward, let's come together and support it. I think that's enough about that. But I think I lost track of what I was talking about before that. I guess I was talking about the NOW event and supporting candidates. Anyway, the NOW event was great. It was really, really good to see the people that I saw, meet some new people, and go from there. And, you know, the focus there was on the November candidates, but it was also pretty fun to, you know, a lot of people there knew that I was running and they wanted to hear about my campaign as well. So that was pretty nice to be able to talk a little bit about what my vision is for the city of Philadelphia and that kind of thing. So the next topic I want to cover is a little bit of a more personal one. So I've been finding that things are really starting to pick up steam. I've been spending more and more time at different events and at different community meetings and things like that. And, you know, and in addition to that, I have my day job. I have my volunteer efforts with the National Brain Tumor Society. By the way, I want to give a little plug. The Race for Hope Philadelphia is coming up on October 13th, and it's a 5K run and walk that benefits National Brain Tumor Society. I co-chair that race, and I'm so excited for our 13th year this year. We are going to... our goal is to raise $1 million this year. It's been elusive for us for the past 12 years, but I think number 13 is our lucky year where we're going to hit it. So if you want to register for that, I'll put a link in the show notes. But I'd love to have you join my team, which is Team Finspiration, or form your own team, or, you know, join one of the other teams if you know some of them or one of them. But anyway... that's been taking up my time because it is coming up soon in addition to that. And then, you know, and I have my other commitments that I have. You know, I do try to go to the gym regularly. It's important, I think, to me to take care of my body and have that outlet. I actually find that the workout is a good stress reliever, and I need that with so many things going on. I'm not ready to, I want to continue my piano lessons. Again, that is a stress reliever. I think it's important to keep taking care of myself while I'm doing this. If I don't, you know, it's like in the airplane, put your own oxygen mask on first. If I don't take care of myself, how can I help other people? So so I have a lot of other things going on in my life. And for the first time, maybe ever in my life, I have started to think that my plate is full and maybe overflowing. I honestly think I have never actually felt that it was too full before. I have always been able to fit other things in and arrange things so that I can do it all. And I'm very fortunate that I have that ability. You know, at my previous company, one of the things we did, and there's a ton of these sort of personality assessments out there, but one of the ones that we did is one called Clifton Strengths Finder. And I like it because it focuses on your strengths rather than your weaknesses. And so one of my top five strengths is one called Arranger. And what that means is that you can kind of see all the puzzle pieces and fit them together in, you know, in the right way. And I've always seen that as my ability to take, you know, pockets of time and fit in the things that I want to do so that I can do it all. And so this week I kind of had this realization that I'm running out of those little time slots to fill things in with. And I think that I still am not 100% sure how I'm going to address that, but I'm starting to think about it. So probably more on that in the future. But one of the things I definitely don't want to fall off my plate is fitting in time with my family. And so I've been really trying to be conscientious about making sure that I set aside some time each week to spend time with my partner, Rob, with, you know, with my in-laws, talking to my parents. My in-laws are local. My parents are further away, but I still, like I said, I've said in the past, I talk to my mom every day, and I want to make sure that I still do that. I want to, you know, take time to talk to my nephews and talk to my nieces and, you know, and things like that, and make sure I still have time for them. And, because of course they're all very understanding. And if I were a little less communicative or had a little less time for them, every single one of them would understand because they support me and they know how much this entails. But I don't want to do that to them. I want to, you know, maintain that stuff. And it's not just my family, right? It's my friends, too. And I want to make sure that I set aside enough time to keep up to date with them and to keep to keep seeing them and keep spending time with them. And it might be less time than I had in the past, but I don't want to just abandon those people who love me. I don't think that's a good way to I don't think that's a good way to do this. So so I've been working on that quite a lot this week, and I think that's an ongoing process. I'm going to keep working on it. And so then the last thing I want to talk about, and so it's funny, every week I write down a bulleted list before I start the podcast so that I know what to talk about. And I, it's not just a rambling mess, although it may still be a little bit of a rambling mess, but at least I have some direction and sort of an agenda for myself. So the last thing on my list here is sort of a twofold thing, and I was going to talk about disagree and commit here, but I talked about it already, so I'm just going to focus on the first part of this bullet point, which was canvassing. Big surprise there that I'm going to talk about canvassing. So this was a banner weekend for canvassing for me. I actually knocked 189 doors between Saturday and Sunday, and that brings my grand total so far for this year to 925. So I'm really close to 1,000. But now I have a new goal of 1,500. So I guess that 1,000 doesn't matter anymore. But on Saturday, I knocked 123 doors. I did the morning in Philadelphia. And the afternoon, I went out to the suburbs to support Katie Muth. So in Philly, I was knocking doors for Mary Isaacson, who is our new candidate on the ballot in the 175th. That's my district. And then Dwight Evans, who's running for U.S. Congress. And then, of course, Bob Casey for Senate and Tom Wolf for governor. And then I went out to Caln, C-A-L-N, Caln, Pennsylvania, which is in the Downingtown area. That's a township in Downingtown. And I went for Katie, and it was funny. I had not planned to go to the suburbs this weekend. I really was planning to stay in the Philly area with the holiday weekend and all of that. Labor Day is Monday. And but I was talking to Katie Muth on, I don't remember, earlier this week. And I had asked her if she was going to go to the Now event, which was on Thursday night, because she's one of their endorsed candidates. And she said, you know, I really was planning to, I really want to, but I can't, I have to knock doors because a lot of our volunteers are not available because of Labor Day weekend. So I've got to get the doors in. You know, she has a goal of knocking however many doors she has to knock each weekend. And so if she doesn't have the door, she doesn't have the volunteers, she has to do it herself. And so I said, well, I'll come knock doors for you this weekend. I was hoping that me saying I'd come knock doors would mean she could come to the event, but it didn't. She's very dedicated to, I mean, obviously she's very dedicated to her race. And in fact, I think she may be the hardest working state Senate candidate that there is. No offense to the other wonderful state Senate candidates that I know who are running, but Katie and her team have knocked over 45,000 doors already this year. And that, to me, is an astounding number and so impressive. But anyway, she said that she couldn't go to this event because she had to knock doors because her volunteers were low. And I said, let me come volunteer for you. And I already knew that a couple of the people that I had met with at work wanted to come with me on Sunday. I said, and in fact, I think I can bring a couple people with me. So I went out there on Saturday first, and we went to Caln, and we knocked doors for her. For her Senate seat, District 44. And then the State House candidate was Dan Williams in State House District 74. I didn't know Dan before, but I've gotten to know him a little bit. And then Chrissy Houlihan was the U.S. Congressional candidate out there, and she's in Pennsylvania District 6. So I got to knock doors for them. And actually, I really enjoyed that canvass because I went around with Katie herself. And this was one of these a little bit more rural neighborhoods. The houses were further apart. The driveways were long. So I actually drove her around, and she and then she would go and knock on the doors. I went with her. But really, when you go around with the candidate, you don't get to do much talking because nobody wants to talk to you when the candidate is there. That's okay, though. I helped record the data. I made sure she got where she was going. And I also helped make sure she didn't stay too long at any one door, because sometimes that can happen. So I went around with Katie. I had a really good time doing that. And she's great at talking to her voters and really trying to understand what issues are important to them, and you know, and telling them why she's going to be a good advocate for them and a good representative for them when she gets to Harrisburg. So I enjoyed that experience so much. And then Sunday, today, I went back to Pottstown this time, and I brought a couple of my colleagues with me, my colleagues Mara and Linda. And we went around a neighborhood called Potts Grove, yeah. And so the candidates there, of course, they were Katie for state senate, but the House candidate is Joe Cerisi. He's running in the 146th House District. And Joe was actually there at the beginning of the canvass, so we got to meet him. He told us all about himself and why he's running. He's been on the school board for 12 years, and he's really interested in you know, bringing some jobs back to the area by bringing back the commuter rail line and things like that. And so he was it was really good to kind of get his perspective directly from him. That doesn't always happen when you're canvassing for multiple candidates, because they may be at a different canvassing site or whatever. But Joe was there. He told us all about his platform and about himself. And then the U.S. congressional candidate that is in that area is Madeline Dean. And I think I've talked about her before. I really respect and like Madeline Dean a lot. And I was really excited to get to knock doors for her. And so she's running in Pennsylvania 4 for the 4th congressional district. So we did that. And, of course, also Bob Casey and Tom Wolf, because, you know, they're all over Pennsylvania. So we did that. We had, I think, 66 doors there in Potts Grove. And actually, that turf was very walkable. And so we parked the car and just walked through the neighborhood. And there were a lot of dogs on our route. We actually got to meet lots of nice dogs. And, you know, the list that we had was, I'd say, like 50-50 split Democrats versus Republicans. And so there were some independent or other registered voters as well. But again, even the people who were kind of the diehard Republicans who would not ever vote for a Democrat, they were polite and they were kind and they did not, you know, come yelling at us. So, you know, they said, you know what, I'm a Republican, no thanks, I'm not interested. And we went on our way. So, you know, so Mara has been canvassing with me before, but Linda, this was her first time canvassing, and I think she had a really good time. I asked her afterwards how she liked it, and she said, it was good. It was really different than what I expected. And I said, well, what were you expecting? And she says, I don't know. I was maybe afraid that people were going to chase us off their lawns or whatever, but nobody did that. So that was good. And, she'll definitely be back. I think that she was nervous at first, but she got through it. And we had a great time, the three of us canvassing together. And you know, we also had some really great conversations. There was one gentleman who was on our list as a Republican, and we knocked on his door and we said, you know, we're here getting out the vote for this very important election in November. Are you planning to vote? And he said, yes, I am. And he said, are you here with Republican candidates or Democrat? And we said, well, they're Democrat candidates. And he said, well, I changed my registration last month to be a Democrat. I just, you know, the Republican Party is not what it used to be. And I said, well, we agree with you. But so we had a really good conversation with him about the candidates that we were there for. And it was really gratifying. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting about this particular candidate, canvas rather, is that so many of the people we talked to already knew Joe Cerisi. And so he must really have gotten his name out there. He is very well liked in that community. And And they all said, we're going to vote for Joe. And so we were excited to be able to tell him that when we got back. But anyway, so we had a great time canvassing. And now I am up to 925 doors. So that goal of 1,500 is in sight. I'm not ready to change it quite yet because I think it probably may take me till November to get there. But I'm going to do it. Next weekend, I'm planning to stay in Philadelphia. And again, if you want to come canvass with me, I would love to take you around. Just ask Linda. She had a great time. It was her first time. All right. So I think those were all the things I wanted to cover today. I do want to, of course, end with my three things that brought me joy. So number one is that it has to do with Twitter. And I'm going to be honest with you. I get overwhelmed by Twitter because it's just the volume is so high, and I don't think I'm good at Twitter. Maybe nobody's good at Twitter, but anyway, I don't think I'm especially good at Twitter, but I was excited this week because a couple of things happened. So first, I tweeted about the canvassing that we did today, and I have gotten so many likes and retweets of that particular tweet. I don't know why. But maybe because it had a cute picture of a dog in it. But because I did post a photo of one of the dogs we met. But so many likes and retweets. I got to figure out what the secret sauce on that one was so I can get some more attention there. But anyway, and then the other thing is that when the article about all of like the 101 city council at large candidates came out, somebody actually saw it and tweeted about it and mentioned me. And so I was mentioned in the article, but not the tweet itself. So that was really, really brought me joy to see that. I had seen the article already, but I hadn't seen it on Twitter. And so it was really, I don't know, it was gratifying that somebody is tweeting about me. I like that. But the second thing that brought me joy was actually getting to canvass with Katie Muth herself. She is such a wonderful candidate. And, you know, it was funny. One of the doors we knocked, this was the next day. This was today, actually. But it was really funny. We, you know, we have the little literature, and it has the pictures of the candidates on it. So we're handing the literature over to the voter whose door we were knocking on, and we hand her Katie's, and she says, oh, she's very pretty. And I said, you know, she's also very kind and smart. And that's true. Katie is one of the kindest people I know. She's also very smart. She has a great plan for the people of Pennsylvania. And so getting to walk around with her and just spend some time with her one-on-one, I really enjoyed that. It brought me a lot of joy. And then the third thing that brought me joy this week was that I got a pretty significant donation from a friend of mine. And it was a $250 donation. And that's tied for my largest donation to date. And it was so unexpected. And so I saw that come in and I said, oh, who did that? And I went and looked, and it was really nice. You know, it's not, you know, one of my closest inner circle of friends. It's just somebody who I know. I've known him for a long time, but you know, I don't see him that often. We don't talk that often. And actually he's also said that he wants to help out with the campaign when the time comes. So, that brought me a lot of joy to get that donation. And, so I think that's it for this week. I hope everybody has a great week. It's a short week because of the holiday, so hopefully you have Monday off and get to have a barbecue and enjoy that, or whatever it is you do for Labor Day. And you know, be thankful for the unions that have, you know, fought for safer working conditions and better pay and things like that for us. So have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to See Beth Run. Special thanks to local singer-songwriter Avi Wisnia, who graciously provides the music for this podcast. I'm Beth Finn, first-time candidate for Philadelphia City Council at Large. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and anywhere you get your podcasts. If you like what you've heard, don't forget to leave a review and check me out online at www.beth4phl.com and on social media at Beth4PHL. That's Beth4PHL. See you next time.